But right now, we got a ticket roundtable breaking out. Joining us here at our broadcast location, Corby and Bob.
Whoa!
Early risers. All right. Bob, I would like to first congratulate you on, I think, breaking the story of training camp. And that is digging back in Cowboys history, as I mentioned earlier in the show, and finding out
that you're going to congratulate him for another record he set here, which we won't talk about. That came up at dinner last night. That's right. You guys weren't there.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry, George.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
Wait, they can't give us blue balls like this.
We can't talk about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, that is the fact that he researched... The Cowboys playoff history and found that a chimp once attended a Cowboys playoff game as they were lost to the Rams in 79. Yes, it was Rodgers' last game, but you broke the fact that even bigger than that, there was a chimp there on the first row.
In
cheering
pads.
On the in How did they get a chimp in Texas Stadium?
Okay, there's a lot here. Because I wanted to ask you about this because I thought, first of all, did you claim you were at this game? Or
No, I was not.
We were talking about some game recently.
He always claims he was at every game.
We were talking about some game recently, and you said I was even there. Maybe that was
the Rams playoff game in 83. Okay, yeah, okay. I went at the game in 79.
Okay, well, I'm assuming you guys were all really, really into the Cowboys in 1979, especially the guy who can recite their whole roster on command. But
thank you for knowing that.
So they had the chimp here, and first of all, they don't really even reference it like it's totally normal.
Is it Summerall and Brookshire doing the game?
For some reason, I want to say Vince Scully was doing that game. But whatever, it doesn't matter. But the point...
I was wondering if they commented on the chimp.
I found it really interesting. First of all, not only did he get into the stadium, not only was he wearing full pads, he also had first row seats.
Did he have his own seat, or was he sitting out like a lap kid?
No, this is a big... This is
he wasn't a lap chimp?
I retweeted it a little while ago so you guys can see it, because I heard it getting some run on high-traffic morning programming. I thought I should get that back out there to kind of grow the brand, you know, Corby? But
So there's
more to this, though. There's more to this. So I posted this, like, on July 5th. Somebody said to me, if you think that's crazy, you need to go back... and find the Vikings playoff game where the man was on fire.
Okay.
We ended up doing subsequent segments where the Irving Fire Department brought us up the costume of the snowman that was lit on fire by the little
heater.
The little catering things. What do they call those things?
I mean,
there's
how
a name
do you
for
light a snowman on fire?
He wore a flammable thing.
No, I did. I thought I was at that game.
Snowman?
My dad
Vikings in 77.
That was the year before. Yeah.
My dad told me I was not.
Or 2 years
I thought
before,
I was there.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's where it gets crazy. During the game with the snowman that caught on fire, they show the chimp again.
Seriously?
He had season tickets.
So now I'm wondering, was the chimp at every Cowboy home game for a series of years?
That.
And if he was, surely this would be back-of-the-hand information for you guys and guys like you.
This guy is...
I never remembered that.
This guy's huge.
I know. Such a great picture.
What number does he have
on? It's not like a little chimp.
It's two football helmets.
It's one of those real generic football jerseys that we had to settle for back then.
Well, he is fired up, too. Look at him.
Yeah.
Dude.
And look at the guy holding a little foam finger on his on his hand there, too.
No, it's the guy who's wearing the America's Team shirt. That's his chimp.
That's his chimp?
Maybe. Or look at the guy next
leather
to him.
Leather jacket?
Doesn't that look like Mel Kiper?
Yeah, kind of.
That's what Mel Kiper was doing.
So,
oh, man.
So I don't know. I assume it's the same chimp.
It's gotta be.
The idea that... But 2 years apart at two different Cowboy playoff games at Texas Stadium... Here's this chimp in these primo seats.
He's also wearing football pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, with little thigh pads.
Yeah.
Do you imagine dressing him? We have to dress the chimp again. We got
a
game
to dress that chimp in pads.
And then certainly the chimp.
Boy, what could go wrong there? Like that chimp couldn't turn on that entire section there.
I know.
Just take out about eight people.
Biting faces off. But so does the chimp have a diaper under all that? Because those are white football pants,
or maybe
too.
Maybe they held his hand and took him to the bathroom.
Would you be uncomfortable if you just kind of walked up to the urinal and the chimp walks up right next to you in a full football outfit?
Or would you just high-five it?
Trying to high-five you, yeah.
How about if you have the seat next to him and you don't know it and you show up and you're next to a chimp the whole time?
Yeah, what if you got your kids with you? You got to let your little son sit next to a chimp?
Or you're
chimp?
Trying to explain down in front to the chimp.
Stallback's going, quiet, please, quiet. The chimp's just jumping up and down.
Man, that is incredible.
Yeah, there's a lot going
Good
on
job,
in the
Bob.
70s I didn't know about. But
you
that's...
need to do a full investigation and do a
whose
whole
chimp
piece
was
investigative
that?
Journalism on whose chimp it was, what was the backstory.
Somebody knows.
I mean, we got to the bottom of the snowman thing. In fact, I think somebody found the dude. Like, I guess he'd be 70 now or something like that.
Mel Kiper?
No. The dude who was set on fire at a game.
Oh, yeah, that
Which,
guy.
Do you guys...
I remember that.
I do
remember
that. Story. What story? I don't know the story.
Well, so at the 77 playoff game. Okay, it's Sterno. That's what it's called.
Yeah, Sterno. Yeah. Little cans of Sterno that they put up under chafing ditches.
Yes, but evidently back then, before we were really regulating things and fire marshals were having their way with crowds at buildings, apparently, first of all, to go back a little bit more, it's a high school group that's selling concessions back then. I guess rather normal. They would be going up and down with, say, hot chocolate. It's a cold day. I think it was maybe New Year's Day of 1978. And so it's high school girls, and one of them has a tray of hot chocolate. The other has a Sterno thing for, like, hand warming just for them. Mm-hmm. And they're going up and down the aisle. Now, the aisles are crowded, and this guy is wearing a flammable snowman, like, Halloween costume. And I guess her Sterno and his costume sort of made contact, and now he is engulfed in flames, and he's running down the aisle because he's freaking out. He's on fire.
And runs by the chimp?
And on the game broadcast...
Help me!
On the game broadcast, Tony Dorsett runs out of bounds. Then Vin Scully and I think Tom Brookshire show a guy fully on fire and say, man, this is really something. Anything happens in Texas, I guess. Wow, that guy's having a rough day. 2nd and 7. They go right back to the game.
Back to the game.
They didn't miss a beat. A man is on fire. Isn't that...
They describe it as a rough day.
Don't we send Noxie over there to find out or something?
In a football stadium, he's on fire.
Yeah. Lord. So.
Oh, man.
And then cut shot to the chimp.
George and I had the discussion the other night whether or not you would trust a chimp in a social setting like a wedding. A family member's wedding.
To be a ring bearer or something?
Would you rather have the chimp there and trust the chimp there, or would you trust Tony, the engineer, to be there?
And we all agree that the chimp would be more trustworthy.
I think most social settings, we took the chimp.
what's the risk of Tony being
because
there?
Because if he did, well...
Of getting
Tony's
too drinky
kinda,
and
Tony's kind of tough to explain when he talks to himself.
Manner.
And if the chimp did do something wheels off, you could say, well, he's just a chimp, you know. Yeah. Sorry, Mr. President, but...
But you say the same thing for Tony. He does something weird, you say, hey, he's just a chimp.
All right, yeah, maybe.
The chimp won't be overserved.
You know, and the dancing, you know.
More understandable.
A chimp won't ask uncomfortable questions of the women at the wedding.
He doesn't care about menopause, that chimp. Not obsessed with menopause.
By the way, the other thing to congratulate Bob for, the record that he set here at training camp.
Bracing.
I don't want to go into detail, but let's just say that he's lowered his handicap.
And, what?
And it has to do with extracurricular activities, and I'm very happy for you, Bob.
Way to go there, Bob.
And speaking of extracurricular activities, you guys did not drive here in the same car this morning because, Corby, you're about to go do something, and Gordon is considering making what I think would be a bad decision.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a hike up in a really cool area that you've taken your bike up several times, up east of Ojai.
Get your hiking clothes on.
And you and I have been talking about it. I want to go
hiking. Yes, we have.
And you were going hiking, and I'm like, well, let's just go together.
And I said, well, why don't you quit this stupid job, and you can do it.
Right.
And you've agreed to do that.
Well, I'm debating it. Should I quit my job to go on a hike with Corby today?
Like an hour and a half hike.
Yeah.
Would it be worth it? Would that be a poor decision?
The worst decision ever.
Just so you could go on a hike with Corby.
I'm suspicious whether this is code for something. You certainly have taken a liking to hiking all of a sudden.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something.
I've always liked hiking.
What do you think he's doing?
There's something going on.
What am
there.
I? Yeah. What am I doing?
I don't know.
Back going back to parking bed. Spaces.
I feel like I might follow him without telling him today. Just to see what we're finding here in California.
I thought the two of you, Corby and Gordo, were going to do a hike last weekend.
And yeah, I was and then looking, he took off without
I was
me.
Looking forward to that story.
I went to Santa Barbara to do it, and up here near Ojai again to do another hike. I double dipped. But you were in L.A.
Oh, yeah. 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 I went into L.A. over the weekend.
What
yeah.
sort of shoes do you wear when you hike?
So I just...
Hey, look, he's not wearing hiking shoes.
He's got tennis shoes.
I'm just like, you're the king of inappropriate
shoes. It's like when you play basketball in running shoes.
He's just an idiot. He weed eats and flip-flops. Yeah. Plays basketball.
That's a weird claim.
Running shoes.
Oh, wow. Well, we're glad you're here.
So,
we're having a great time.
If you can wait on hiking, then after the show, you and I can go hiking together.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I'm planning to do today,
whoa,
because it's a big anniversary, 50-year anniversary.
Uh-oh. Oh, the Manson thing. Holy smokes.
Is head to a couple of notable locations.
I thought those houses were taken down.
The Manson.
Are you going to go to Spawn Ranch?
I was thinking about Spawn Ranch. I was thinking about the Cielo Drive. I've never been to any of
the
Manson
places. Didn't they rename Cielo Drive?
I don't know if they've renamed the street. I know that house got a new house number.
Okay.
And the house was torn down in the 90s, I believe. Trent Reznor was the last guy to live there.
How dark
in the
actual
Sharon Tate house.
Really?
But then there's also the La Bianca house that's now for sale. So we could actually pose, Corby, you and I could be like a couple who's really interested in buying a new house, and we'll pretend like when they tell us that this was the La Bianca murder house, we'll just have to act surprised.
What?
Maybe it's an open house today.
You know, I didn't realize that the La Biancas were in their 80s.
Were they that old?
That's what I read yesterday.
Huh. I knew they were older, but I thought they were in their 50s.
They took maybe I misread that. But I was like, man, they took out a 8.5-month pregnant girl.
I misread that, Coach.
An 80-year-old.
I think he was joking, Coach. Yeah, but we could do that. We'd do a Trail of Tears of the Manson thing on the 50th anniversary. I mean, that's
really creepy.
But, yes,
we
it's
could
history,
up.
Giorgio.
You won't be the only one doing it today.
No.
Yeah, you'll bump into Richard Hunter, I bet. Be doing a seance or a reading of some sort.
I thought about him and the fact that Charles Tex Watson actually used to pick games here on the ticket.
So crazy.
For our nighttime show. And as I was reading the accounts, I was reading back through the Manson accounts here on the 50th anniversary, and Charles Tex Watson did so many horrible things during those murders. He was the main murder guy.
Wow.
And he did so
He's
many
the
horrible
only male.
Yes. Well, what does that have to do with it, Corby?
Yeah, you can't talk about different genders.
Now. Right.
When so they're murdering?
All of the women were
murdered. How was he doing picks on our station then? Was he out of prison or did
no,
he?
No, he somehow had
Richard
phone call privileges.
And it was serious. He's like, well, I got to tell you, Richard, the Rams are pretty good this week.
I think the Rams really improved at quarterback, and I think that they're going to...
Yes!
Wow.
It's so raw. Well, and as I'm reading the evil that this man perpetrated, I'm going... Why did we have him on the air picking games?
All right, up next, more on the Manson murders and chimps at Cowboy playoff games on our ticket roundtable from training
camp.
We
ever done that tease before?
But right now we're in the middle of our Cowboys roundtable with our buddies, Bob Sturm from Bad Radio and Corby Davidson from The Hardline.
Did Charlotte... Stop it, Chair. Did Charlotte take her husband's name but shove it in the middle? You just said Charlotte Anderson Jones?
Yeah, I said it both ways because I'm not sure.
Okay.
Charlotte Jones Anderson?
That's correct.
I don't think you can.
Disrespectful to the husband if you take the name, but it's your middle name?
Charlotte Anderson. No, Charlotte Jones Anderson is
correct.
Her name, right?
But I hear her almost more commonly called Charlotte Anderson these days. Like, I never hear her called Charlotte Jones.
Oh,
right?
They don't put Jones in it at all anymore?
I don't think so,
Let's see
but
here
I'm not
the
sure.
Media guide.
But I wanted to make sure to put
She's
Jones
listed
in
as
there.
Charlotte Jones Anderson in the media guide.
Okay.
She'll never shake the Jones.
Right.
Never.
All right, so one of the best things about coming to training camp is the bonding that goes on here with the ticket staff. We get to hang out with each other a lot. We go do things like concerts and playing golf and have dinner together. And last night, six of us went to eat sushi. It was me, Bob, Corby, Killer, Blake, and Dan McDowell. And we had a really great time at dinner.
Now, wait a minute.
Uh-oh. What happened to your voice right there?
Now, where were you?
I couldn't do sushi. I've already eaten there, and we had sushi in Malibu the other night.
Did you guys have
a
rough spell after the media party?
Yeah, a little bit.
Turns out, no.
I mean, we didn't, like, vomit or have a lot of diarrhea, but...
I heard the term was used in the automobile going back up the PCH of... California mudslide imminent.
That's what George warned us.
I put out a warning.
Okay.
But it was fine.
All right.
But yeah, we were both feeling a little weird. And I just think, I'm glad you guys...
Over the emergency actions we would have taken if the warning could have...
Stand by and then take cover, maybe.
but it passed for both of you.
Yeah, yeah.
In a good way.
We didn't have to deal with anything terrible. But no, I didn't go because I didn't want sushi. And I think generally, I'm glad you guys enjoy that place. I think y'all tend to overrate it.
Man, it was so great last night.
Yeah, you guys love it. That's great. But
the sushi was so good, and the woman who runs the place, she loves me.
This is the most overstated bunch of garbage ever. Because 2 years ago, she remembered Craig, specifically Craig, from the year prior. Because obviously this is...
Because he went there a bunch and ordered a bunch.
And we were all there, and she pointed him out. Like, oh, hey, and I'm not going to do her accent because I can't do that. I'm not good at that.
What do you mean, her accent?
She had an accent. She is from an eastern area, east of here.
Right.
And but it was weird because she pointed Craig out. And so Craig, in the last couple of years, is like, oh, okay, I'm going to get the best table. I'm going to set you guys up. We're going to just get it service that's out the wazoo and everything.
She loves me.
We show up last night. I walk in with Craig. There that woman is. Watering the plants outside. Craig walks up to her and goes, hey, I'm back. And she kind of looks at him very confused. It's me. It's me. Uh-huh.
Okay. What, you on table?
Okay, good. Nothing. We get nothing.
Nothing. I was so disappointed.
And all the text is like, she just loves
me. No, I got the hookup, guys.
Yeah.
We're fine. We don't need to call it.
That place is confusing. How you order, you got to get three entrees. I don't know.
What?
We're there during happy hour. They give you...
three. You got to get three entrees.
It seems like everybody does.
He does. It's Craig.
It's not just him. It seems like everybody gets two or three.
I ordered one thing last night.
Yeah, but you order it in 40 parts.
Yes.
Craig has
one thing.
He has to keep working to keep up with the sushi habit. It's incredible.
It is.
I can eat a lot of sushi.
It's like watching a heroin junkie.
It's really something. In fact, the double take that the waitress always offers him when he puts in his order, like, you serious?
Okay, go over what you exactly... have to say to get your food. What is it exactly that you order?
So I like rolls and I like everything else, but my favorite sushi dish or item is sushi proper. It's salmon sushi, just the strip of salmon on the rice. And so they come two an order. Mm-hmm. So if you order, I'd like one order of salmon sushi, that's two pieces. So last night I said to her, I would like six orders of salmon sushi or 12 pieces.
What does that run you?
I later added one more order, so that made it 14 pieces for the night. That's all I want. Like, I didn't order, like, you guys ordered a couple of rolls each.
Yeah.
That's a lot of food, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But the salmon that you get...
It's huge.
They're huge. Yeah. And they can barely fit on a plate.
It's the entire salmon?
Yeah, it is.
Yes. It's the equivalent of any other sushi restaurant of ordering 28 pieces of salmon.
Yeah.
Because they're twice as big as you get anywhere else.
Yeah, they're huge. And then, so he'll polish off, because I think he's embarrassed to go to 7. I think 6 is his limit. But then we all finish, and he kind of real quiet goes, excuse me, can I have one more?
Did y'all go catch one
for
more
you?
Salmon?
Just for you. Yeah, just one
Sir,
more.
Sir, we've run out of salmon.
Again, you have eaten all the salmon.
We didn't proportion it out very well.
We tried to take a look at their record books to kind of see how close he was, you know,
right.
If we could... coax him across the finish line, but apparently they haven't updated them recently.
I can't get enough of
it. It's all speculation.
And last
night, it is awesome.
Last night in bed, my stomach was churning a little bit. I had failed smile. And I was thinking to myself, maybe I went a little overboard.
Well, plus we topped it off with a couple of frothy local brewery beers.
Yeah,
and that probably didn't sit well with your salmon. No. It's in there swimming in your stomach.
It did not. My favorite moment.
Did you
dinner.
Geyser out your dirt maker?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't had anything like that.
Geyser out your dirt maker.
A doctor told him that one time.
What?
When's the last time you geysered out your dirt maker, Mr. Key?
So my favorite moment at dinner last night, outside of eating all that salmon, was Bob, who, this goes back to about a week and a half ago when Corby, Bob, and I got out here and we went to the Jack White concert and we were talking about social media. Social media came up.
Oh.
And Corby said, do I need to get on Instagram? And Bob and I are already on Instagram. And we said, yeah. And I said, I'm trying to sell it to Corby. And I said, I like Instagram a lot more than Twitter because Instagram seems to be a safe place. It's a nicer, more gentle place. Twitter, we just get flamed.
Yeah.
You know, and it's Twitter's really harsh and it's really busy. And Instagram is just nice. And you rarely get a negative comment. So last night at dinner, Bob says, what were you saying to me the other night about Instagram being a nice, safe, calm place? And he shows me his Instagram page, and he posted a picture of Bad Radio interviewing Jalen Smith.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, look at the first two comments. And the first comment was the most vile, violent, calling out Bob for being this giant a-hole and
for posting a photo.
How undeserving I was to be able to talk to Jalen Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, calling him undeserving. Man, I'm still laughing about that this morning.
Then I asked Junior, should I like it or delete it?
Oh, I'd like it.
I told him to delete it. You can do that on Instagram. You know, you can delete
comments?
Yeah, yeah, you can choose your own adventure on Instagram. That's kind of a cool thing, I guess, you know. Not that it doesn't exist, but you can at least...
But you got to post a picture with every posting?
Yeah.
That's, you do?
Well, no. The posting is the picture, at least hypothetically.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
You don't have to comment, but every post is a picture.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to add comments. Mm-hmm. I still just like it more than Twitter, despite that evidence.
Man, we had a real chance to gram a giant plate of salmon yesterday. Isn't that what you do on Instagram? Just put food up there?
Yeah.
Gordon has an opinion about that.
What?
Let's go live to Gordon.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're annoyed by it.
You think
people
it's weird.
Who gram their food.
The what?
People.
What do you mean? Why would I think it's weird?
All right. He doesn't have
get some support to do it.
To
I'll say it. I think it's annoying too.
Well, the reason, though, he doesn't like it.
Uh-oh.
He says people are just posting pictures of their future doo-doo.
Oh, yeah.
Now, wait a second. I'm being besmirched on local national radio right now.
He said, what's the point if it's all going to turn into doo-doo?
That's not what I said. I just said it's just kind of gross. First of all,
well, when you paint it like that,
oftentimes
yes.
looks gross on Instagram or any social media when people post pictures. It often looks gross.
Yeah, but the amount of times that people probably try to put the proper filter on their hamburger, you know, to make it look better or whatever.
That's a weird description.
And then you don't, it's like, I don't know. I just
you
don't
put
want
puppy ears on your burger.
Especially, it seems like women post a lot of food.
Yeah, and that's what you think of? What's happening in the next couple hours?
Well, when they put the caption on it, my hot girl bot's going to turn this into doo-doo.
No one says that.
It's like, you don't want to know. You don't want any part of that, really.
Boy, that'd be a weird caption right there.
All right, Corby and Bob are joining us here at Cowboys Training Camp for our Cowboys Roundtable.
Oh, my God. Speaking of that, we need to go to break.
I would trade them.
So you George. Tell this story again. We had the Manson Roundtable yesterday, and Gordon joined
what?
Us.
Oh, really?
Told us a very interesting story that was like the capper on the LoBianca. No, it was the Tate murders.
I thought it was a Tate. Now, I have not. I was trying to look for confirmation on this, but this is the report. Was you talking about Susan Atkins?
Yeah.
Okay, can you package that?
Okay, yes.
Okay, coming up next, Gordo tells this story, plus we discuss whether the Cowboys should re-sign Romo.
Cut it.
Yes, we are in the middle of our Cowboys Roundtable with Corby and Bob. And Corby, you wanted Gordo to, speaking of the Cowboys, talk about the Manson murders.
Well, today is the official 50-year anniversary of the initial murders. They would carry on into tomorrow, but tonight is a 50-year anniversary of the Sharon Tate, Jay Sebring, and the Cielo Drive murders.
Isn't it creepy how much Gordo knows about these?
I don't know that
pretty,
much about
it. It was pretty impressive. It was pretty impressive. I thought I was clued in, but man, you're like a encyclopedia of the macabre.
That's not true at all.
Why'd you just take a knee, by the way? Get back up.
What?
Yeah.
Not bowing.
Hey, did you check...
Genuflecting. What?
Did you check the Lee Harvey Oswald tub?
What do you mean, check it?
Or was that carry-on?
Can you carry... Let you sit on it in a ball cage.
Flies it out here.
I'm sorry, I'm not a very good sleeper, and I have to have my circumstances replicated at home here. So. I don't know everything about it, and I got some of the things wrong yesterday when I was talking on the air. One of the things I got wrong was this thing you're wanting me to tell you about, which is that I thought it was the Tate murder scene where Susan Atkins, while they were leaving the murder scene after they had killed five people, and I don't know all their names.
Yeah, you did yesterday.
J. Sebring, Wojciech Frykowski, Abigail Folger, J. Sebring. Did I say that already? Stephen Parent.
That was weird.
Those are guesses.
He even got the Polish guy's name right, pronunciation wise.
That's weirder than the chimp at Texas Stadium.
And I thought that Susan Atkins, a.k.a. Sadie Mae Glutz,
oh my gosh,
was the name that Charlie had given her.
Stop making your eyes do that.
Don't call him Charlie.
That she said, hold on, and then she went back in and then defecated at the scene.
To add insult to injury.
But that is not correct. What happened was, it was on the next night, the LaBianca murders. She rode in the car to the LaBianca murders. But she didn't go inside that house. I think it was just Tex Watson and,
Patricia.
Corinne Winkle and Leslie Van Houten may have been the ones that went into there. And Charles Manson was with them that night. See, he did not go on the Tate night. But he went on the LaBianca night and drove the car to that house. And the reason they picked that house is it was next door to a house that they'd all dropped acid in like a year or two before. So he would always pick these locations that he knew something about. Mm-hmm. And then, the Tate house was because Terry Melcher used to live there. And Manson was pissed at Terry Melcher, who was a record producer, Doris Day's son, who had rejected Manson for being his music, rejected Manson as a being a guy who was going to produce his music. Anyway, so Susan Atkins is in the car with Charles Manson and one of the other girls, and I think one of the other guys, and they were going to a different location after the LaBianca murders. He was going to take a different crew to a different location to do the same thing. So there's supposed to be a double murder scene the LaBianca night. But Leslie Van Houten, Linda Kasabian, went and intentionally knocked on the wrong door at this place in Venice Beach because she didn't want to kill anyone. Because Charles Manson dropped them off to go kill someone at this place that Linda Kasabian knew someone at. So they ended up not killing anyone at the second location on the LaBianca night, but Susan Atkins, as they were leaving that second location where they intentionally knocked on the wrong door, she decided that she wanted to defecate in the stairway.
Which begs the question, would you rather die or step in her manure? Barefoot.
That's what Corby took out of that story.
I'd say step in her manure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But let's say the tread on your sneakers is real hard to... I mean, you're going to have to get a little stick.
So Manson never actually killed anybody. It was always his people, right?
Orchestrated.
No. On those two murder scenes, he didn't actually kill anyone. No. Now, there is, I think he participated in the killing. Did he participate in the killing of Gary Hinman?
Yeah, he did kill Gary Hinman.
Okay. And then there was also a Black Panther that they said that Charles Manson had killed. At least some of the family members had testified to that. And I don't know what the story is behind that. Mm-hmm. It's been forever since I read Helter Skelter. I think it seems like everybody reads that in eighth grade. Somewhere around in eighth grade, everybody goes through a...
Man, I don't know why you would read that in eighth grade. That is horrifying.
That's why you read it in eighth grade.
I guess so.
because it's like you're old enough to read something that's real macabre.
Ugh. Brutal.
Macabre.
What is that? Who are you?
George, who are you?
But yeah, we can do the Trail of Tears today. We can go
see
the defecation stairwell.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to.
You
don't
want to see the defecation stairwell?
I don't think so. No. I don't think I want to do that.
They have bronze droppings there.
You know, the thing that weirded me out about this, or there are several things, but and we mentioned this yesterday, was the fact that he convinced all these women to be a part of this cult, and a lot of them were well-heeled women. They weren't just homeless women that just kind of wandered up to the Spahn Ranch. He got these people who were pretty free thinkers and had lives of their own to buy into his insanity.
Because he was mesmerizing. Mm-hmm. He was a guru and somehow had all this mind control. And they swore that he was, like, magical. I mean, they really thought, I mean, even afterwards when they're giving their confessions to police months later, even after they've been separated from the family, they felt like Charlie could hear everything they were saying at the moment. I told you guys yesterday, they had several people had given personal accounts of watching Charlie pick up dead animals and reanimating them.
God. All of those kinds of stories have that similar tone to it, like the Bhagwan in Wild West. Everybody thought he was magical, and he had this way of just brainwashing people.
Jim Jones.
Jim Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. Same stuff. But would it surprise you?
No. Yes.
You think Alec Drake reanimates dead animals in his spare time?
It's mesmerizing, though.
Don't you think that everything Charlie did was...
Stop calling him Charlie.
Was...
Chuck.
Like an affront to Hollywood for pushing him out, to shunning him,
yeah,
the music industry, the act, everything.
He was pissed.
But he sold this bill of goods of, all right, I'm going to convince these people that this is what I'm all about. But everything he did was basically to get even with the Hollywood types, the music industry, for not letting him in. Mm-hmm. But he sold it as, look at me, I'm reanimating a Robin.
And then think about how crazy that is that he does all the... He didn't have to do any of this killing stuff. He already has a cult that he has full power over.
Yeah.
And all these women that he has to choose... He was in the catbird seat, but he was so crazy that he wanted to...
Yeah, he's crazy.
And you know why he did it, don't you, George? You heard the whole race war thing, right?
Yeah, he wanted to start a race war.
A race war. And then he and his family were going to go live underground in the hole that had been prepared for them in the desert to live in while the race war took place. And black people were going to win the race war, according to Charlie Manson. And then when everyone on Earth was black and all the white people had been killed, Charles Manson and his family would come out of the hole in the ground that had been prepared for them in the desert. And then the black man would be so thankful that Charlie had the guts to start the race war for them that they would make him their leader. And the Manson family would then reign over the earth.
Wow.
Yeah. And even on the Lakers.
Insanity. A plan that was crazy enough, it just might work, huh?
Did you suggest he would be on the Lakers?
Own the Lakers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's part of ruling the world, is you'd own the Lakers.
And Manson was like 5'1", right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really short. But he had a good crossover.
And Charlie crossing midcourt with the ball again.
Oh, my gosh. Man, I don't have to dribble the ball. The ball dribbles itself. Ball's only dribbled in your mind.
Ooh, is that today?
All right, so Corby's going to go on a hike, and Gordo is going to go look at death scenes.
Another Trail of Tears
for
Gordo.
We could combine the two, Corby, and just hike the Spahn Ranch. You want to do that?
I don't know. By the way, you know what else?
Make love in the area where they took that picture under the rock. All the family members in that little cave.
Do you remember one time when we drove down to... It was you and... Me and Danny, I think, and we drove down to the Cowboy Media Party. It was at the Sky Bar, and we got lost. We took an exit because the highway was so crowded, and we ended up in some really weird mountainous area, and we stumbled onto like a van, a 60s van, with these people lurking out there in the middle of nowhere, and we pull up, and they're looking at us, and I'm like, oh my God, my life is going to end, because Gordo dragged us on this back route to meet his Manson people.
Yeah, he probably got you on the road to some Manson site back
there. Hey, Karen,
there.
Steve. It's me, Gordo.
These are my friends, Corby and Danny.
We're home, guys. We're finally home.
Well, thanks for roundtabling with us. Thank you.
Bob and Corby.
Yeah, Bob, sorry, we appreciate that. To your Cowboys need to re-sign Romo opinion.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Maybe later date.
And keep an eye on this kicking situation.
Okay.
Just keep an eye.
Good. We'll keep an eye on that. Good football, tip. Bob.
That was a great Cowboy Roundtable.
Thumbs up for Hard Knocks, first episode?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Yeah, we're off to a good start there.
Who's
sure.
the focus of it this time?
The Raiders.
Go in the water.
John Gruden.
Dude, your kid does the best John Gruden
it's
ever.
Pretty good,
that is hilarious.
Yeah,
that's
he's got the facial facial expressions and everything.
That was
yeah.
awesome.
It really was.
All right, boys, thanks. That's Corby and Bob. That's another roundtable.
You can't make me leave.
It's 8:48 on the ticket. And we'll talk Cowboys with the Chief Brand Officer, Charlotte Jones Anderson, next.